All right, welcome to our Bible study tonight. Take your Bibles, turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to continue our study of faith. The biblical definition of faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Okay? Things hoped for have to do with things in the future. A confident expectation of God's going to bring about things that He has said He will do in the future. Things unseen can either involve spiritual things or things that have happened in the past that we didn't see. We take and believe by faith that they happened. Our working definition of faith is to act like a thing is so because God says it is so, even when it may not appear to be so, in order for it to become so. And that's kind of a practical working definition. Now, last week, we looked at Abel, and I told you that the writer of Hebrews, when he wants to talk about faith, he starts with a man who worships God. That's Abel. Then he talked about a man who walked with God. That's Enoch. And then he talked about a man who worked for God, and that's Noah. And we must make sure we keep that order in mind. First, you worship God, then you walk with God, then you work for God. Don't try to work for God until you've been worshiping God. It's from our worship that our ministry is to flow. So it's important not to get so tied up in the work of the Lord that we neglect the Lord of the work. So tonight we come to Enoch. Now, I said to you last time I was here, 2 weeks ago, that only two people recorded in Scripture ever went to heaven without dying. Enoch was one of them. And I asked you if you knew who the other one was, and some of you said, Elijah, and you're right. And because of that, some people believe that the two prophets or witnesses of Revelation chapter 11 will be Elijah and Enoch, because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Well, those two guys haven't died the once yet. So some people believe that they will be those two prophets. I don't know. I'll let you think about that. We'll find out when it happens for sure, won't we? All right, Enoch, verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before him, his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him. The name Enoch actually means dedicated. Enoch was the son of Jared, and he was the father of Methuselah. Anybody know what's unique about Methuselah? Longest living man the world has ever known. And Enoch didn't do too bad himself. I think he was around 600 years. But there are four features in Enoch's life that I believe made him pleasing to God. And they all sprung from his life of faith. And you might say, well, how do you know that? How do you know that these four aspects of his life that made him pleasing to God came from his faith? Because, verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. But, what do we see? He pleased God, right? Verse 5, before he was taken up, he was pleasing to God. So that tells me his life had to be one of faith. And it was through faith that he was pleasing to God. The four aspects. Number one, by faith, Enoch believed God is. God exist. Verse 6. But without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. The first and basic step of faith is to believe, to accept God's existence. Now, I'm not saying believe in a supreme intelligence, or to believe in a higher power, or even a supreme being, or a supreme intelligence, or a master designer, or the man upstairs, sometimes people say. I'm talking about a belief in the God of Scripture. Not the God of Mormons. You know, Mormons believe that they one day, the men, if they live right, they one day will be gods. Their wives will be goddesses, and they will populate new planets. Just like our planet is populated by a person who was a man on some other planet at some other time, and he ascended to be a god, and all these spirit children have to have bodies, and so that's why they have so many kids, so those spirit children that are hanging around up in heaven can come down in these bodies. But that's not the God of Scripture, is it? Yes, that's what they believe. As God was. Yes, that's their saying, exactly. So if you're a God and you're a Mormon, then you'll get given your own planet, and you and your wife can have spirit children by the thousands and millions, and then they are waiting around in heaven for a body to come along. They can invade that body. All right? So you cannot just believe in any God. Allah of Islam is not the God of Scripture. Don't let anyone tell you, oh, they believe in the same God we do, they just call Him Allah rather than God. No. The God of Islam is not the God of the Scriptures. And if you look at the Quran, you will see that clearly. And so it is important to believe that the God of Scripture, the God of the Bible, is the God who exists. Several passages I want us to look at. The first one over in Jeremiah chapter 10. There is only one true God. There are many false gods, but there is only one true God. In Jeremiah chapter 10, look at what, beginning in verse 10, what we read. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. And at His wrath the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure His indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that did not make the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. And it is He who made the earth by His power, who established the world by His wisdom, and by His understanding He has stretched out the heavens. And He causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings out the wind from His storehouses. Every man is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols. For His molten images are deceitful, and there's no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of mockery. In the time of their punishment, they will perish. The portion of Jacob is not like these, for the Maker of all is He. And Israel is the tribe of His inheritance. The Lord of hosts is His name. Over in Isaiah chapter 43, we read this beginning in verse 10. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, in order that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am He, and before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed, and there was no strange God among you. So you are my witnesses, declares the Lord. I am God. Even from eternity, I am He. And there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it? And then over in John 17:3, as Jesus is praying in the garden, He says in verse 3, "And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." Now, you've either got to believe that there's only one true God, and that's the God of Scripture, or you have got to reject the Lord Jesus Christ as the bearer of truth, as the one who knew God, and as your Savior. That's the choices you have. If you want to say there are other gods, and as long as somebody worships a God, they're okay, then you've got to throw out the Scripture. You've got to throw out Jesus Christ. You've got to throw out His salvation by death on the cross. Because He says there's only one true God. And we know that to be the God of Scripture. And Enoch believed that God is. Now, when Enoch walked the earth, there was a belief in many gods. But he believed in the one and only true God, the God of Scripture. So that was the first thing that made him pleasing to God. He believed that there was and is the only true God, and He's the God of Scripture. Next, by faith Enoch received God's reward. Again, over in Hebrews chapter 11. And those who come to God must believe that He is, and He is the rewarder of those who seek Him. So by faith, Enoch received God's reward. He believed that God was moral and just, and therefore He would reward. Look over in... That's Hebrews 11:6, excuse me. All right, Psalm 58:11. In Psalm 58:11... Listen to these words. Fifty-eight, eleven. And men will say, "Surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely there is a God who judges on earth." You must believe that God is, and He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Look in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 18. Proverbs 11, 18. It says, "The wicked earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness gets a true reward." Our God is a good God, and He will reward those who seek Him. Now, there's nothing wrong with anticipating rewards from God. In fact, they can be a source of hope in times of discouragement. For instance, over in Colossians, back in the New Testament, chapter 3, you know, you've been working hard, you've been doing your best at work, and they pass you over for that raise, for that promotion. Now, you could be tempted to get discouraged until you read Colossians 3:23 and 24, Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord God whom you serve. Right? Yeah, you may not get it from that boss, but so what? God says He will reward you if you will work diligently, wholeheartedly, as unto Him and not under men. But what I want you to notice is that Enoch sought God, not the reward. The reward is the byproduct. We are to seek God. He says, those who seek Him. That word means to seek out in the Greek, to seek after. It means to search for. And it carries the idea of a diligent search, that you put your whole heart into it. That same word, in fact, is used over in chapter 12 when it talks about Esau seeking repentance, but he couldn't find it. Hebrews 12:17. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired, that is Esau, to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. The word sought there, same word used in chapter 11, verse 6, for seek. So it means to seek earnestly, even seek with tears, you want it so badly. It's used also in 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 10, and to this salvation the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful search and inquiry. Careful search. That's the word, same word for seek, used in Hebrews 11:6. So you see, God is reward of those who diligently, earnestly seek Him. But you seek Him, not the reward. Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And that word for seek is the same root word as the word used in Hebrews chapter 11. Seek Him and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And when we earnestly seek God, the Bible says we will find Him. Over in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, God says, and you will seek Me and find Me when, what's the condition? When you search for Me with all your heart. The problem is, we come to God with a divided heart. We don't really seek Him with a whole heart. But Enoch sought God with a whole heart, and he found Him. And when you find God, you have found the true reward. You see, everything God gives you in salvation is only a means to the end, which is God Himself. The end of salvation is not having your sins forgiven, Mark. The end of salvation is not having a new nature in Christ, Joel. That's not the end. The end of salvation is not heaven. The end of salvation is not having the righteousness of God. The end of salvation is not having the glory of God someday. But all of those are simply the means that will allow us to have the true end of salvation, and that's to enjoy Christ, to enjoy God forever. You see, God is the gospel. All the other is just a means to get us to the place that we can really enjoy God, that we can really see God and be with God. You see? And so, you don't seek the reward, you seek Jesus. When you got Jesus, you got the reward. It's a byproduct. When you got Jesus, you got peace. You got joy. You got satisfaction. Right? You got forgiveness. You got hope. Got it all. And we too often seek a reward rather than seeking Jesus. We sell people short on the gospel when we only present the gospel as saving us from hell and having our sins forgiven and having eternal life even and having the righteousness of Christ. As good as those things are, they are not the end, ultimate purpose of the gospel. The ultimate purpose of the gospel is to enable us to enjoy God forever. Amen. The saved people, only the saved people are going to get to enjoy God forever. But that's the purpose of the gospel, to get people saved and all those other things so they can enjoy God forever. All right? Look in 2 Corinthians 4, 6. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. Paul gives us an idea of the real heart of the gospel. For God who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The glory of God in the face of Christ. That's the end of salvation right there. The glory of God in the face of Christ. And by faith, Enoch received God's reward, which was God Himself. Number three, by faith Enoch walked with God. Now over in Genesis chapter 5 is where we read about Enoch. In Genesis 5, in verses 21 through 24. And Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Genesis 5:22. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. And he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. Enoch, by faith, walked with God. Now, what does it mean to walk with God? It means his way of life, his manner, his disposition was to be with God. That was his life, to be with God. He so enjoyed the presence of God that he got translated into heaven. Can you believe that? But that's what it says, isn't it? I mean, he was so caught up with God, he was so with God, that he just ended up in heaven. Woo! Now that's being with God, isn't it? Now, there are five things I think that's involved in walking with God. First is reconciliation. Amos 3:3 says, "How can two walk together unless they agree," right? You got to be reconciled. The Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. That God, through Christ, has reconciled us to Him. The rebellion is gone. Agreement exists. we can walk with God because the sin problem has been dealt with through the blood of Christ. That relationship that has been broken through sin has been restored in Jesus. There was reconciliation by faith between Enoch and God. They could walk together. Number two, Enoch and God had corresponding natures. They had communion. They had walked together. For real fellowship to be possible, there must be this corresponding nature. What about us? You know what we read over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4? Listen. 1 Peter 1, 4. Let's see, maybe 2 Peter. All right, 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1, 4. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature. Now, we're not God. He's not saying that. But He's saying we have the divine Holy Spirit in us as believers. So we partake of the divine nature as we partake of the Holy Spirit when we are born again. It's the Spirit that brings about the new birth. And when He brings about that new birth, He comes in and quickens us. Though we were dead in our trespasses and sins, He causes us to be born again. By grace you have been saved, right? It's all grace. We're dead. He comes in. He makes us partakers of the divine nature, and therefore it is the Spirit of God within us that enables us to commune and fellowship with God. And therefore we can walk with Him. Enoch was able to walk with God. There's also a moral fitness. Sin was dealt with at the cross. Hebrews 9:26 says, otherwise He would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world, talking about Jesus, but now once at the consummation He has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Jesus gives us a moral fitness because He was a sacrifice for our sins. And we can have His righteousness through faith. And then if you're going to walk with someone, you got to surrender your will. You got to go in the same direction. You got to surrender. Enoch surrendered and was willing to walk with God and go the way God wanted to go. Can't walk with anybody if you're not willing to go the way they want to go, Mark. I mean, that's just basic, isn't it? And then fifthly, there was that continuing faith. We walk by faith and not sight. And Enoch walked by faith. He saw the unseen. He got so caught up with God that he just ended up in heaven. And then number four, first thing was, by faith, he believed God is. By faith, secondly, Enoch received God's reward. Thirdly, by faith, Enoch walked with God. And fourthly, by faith, Enoch preached. Look over in Jude, the book before Revelation. In Jude, verses 14 and 15, it mentions Enoch. And about these, that is, about those false teachers, About these also Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, preached, saying, Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of His holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of their ungodly deeds which they have done in an ungodly way and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Now, Enoch was able to, by faith, preach because he, by faith, walked with God. You remember, you worship God, you walk with God, then you can work for God. And because he was pleasing God, Enoch entered God's presence. God took him up. And I think we have in this a picture of life after death. That the death is not the end. Sheol is not the end. Now, death is not the end for Christians or non-believers. No, it's not the end. The soul is immortal. It will live forever. The only question is, where is it going to live? Is it going to live with God in heaven, or is it going to live with the devil in hell? So he was taken up into heaven. A picture of the rapture, some have said. Yes, they have. What does Paul say? Absence from the body? Presence with the Lord. Amen. Enoch went to be with the Lord. A man of faith who walked with God. May he be an encouragement to you and to me that not only are we to worship God, but we should also walk with Him, because that worship makes that possible. Get to worship right, then your walk will be right. Then your work will be right. Get to work first, it's not going to be right. All right, let us pray. Father, I do thank you again for the instruction in your word. Thank you that your word sanctifies, it builds up the body, it strengthens us, it brings about perseverance, and it even performs its work in those who believe. May you take the seed of the word and cause it to take root and bear fruit in each of our lives. Rebuke the devourer from snatching it away. But may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for being with us for this message. Each week, Dr. Stewart gives practical applications and ways to live out the Word of God. If you would like more information, please take a moment to view our website at wbcfamily.org. That's wbcfamily.org.